Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to see wonderful things from you. Teach us, inform in us the image of Christ, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a Roman general, his name was Heraclitus. He lived about 500 years before Christ. He is quoted as saying of his army, "Of every 100 men they send me, 10 should not be here. 80 are nothing but targets. 9 are fighters. They make the battle. Ah, but the one, he is a warrior. And he will bring the others back." Now, what made the difference between the one and the 99? Was he given a bigger shield, a fancier sword, a thicker breastplate? No. All the soldiers were issued with the same equipment. What made the difference? What made the difference was what was under the armor, the man who wore it. The verses that are printed in your bulletin from Romans 13, Paul tells us we're to put on the armor of light, to walk properly as in the daytime. Not in orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but rather put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. When he writes to the church in Colossae, he expands that a little bit and he tells what he's really saying. Or he amplifies it. In chapter 3, starting at verse 12, he says this, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Paul describes what he meant in Romans, when he writes to the Colossians, he describes what he meant by put on Christ. He breaks it down, or I'm going to break it down, into four aspects of this. First of all, Paul says, put on the character of Christ. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, love. Kind of sounds like Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? But these are all aspects of the character of Christ. compassionate hearts. When Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Kindness, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, freeing the demon-possessed, the woman with the bleeding problem, who he called daughter. Humility. At the Last Supper, who was it that washed the disciples' feet? The job of the lowest slave was taken on by the one who created everything that is. The God of the universe took the place of a lowest slave. And Paul writes to the Philippians, have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How despicable was death on a cross? Roman orator by the name of Cicero put it this way, let not only the name of the cross, but the word of it be far from the eyes and the ears of a Roman citizen. We don't even want to talk about it. We don't want to hear about it. That's how bad. And yet Christ willingly submitted himself to that for us and for those who crucified him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Meekness. Was there ever anyone more humble or meek than our Lord Jesus? He could have called down, he said, 12 legions of angels, 72,000 super warriors. And he didn't. But he allowed himself to be crucified to gain forgiveness for us. Patience. Bearing with one another. How often do I really have to forgive my brother when he sins against me? 7 times? No. 70 times 7 times. 490. You know what the problem with that is? Corinthians, Paul says, love keeps no records of wrongs done. So you don't even get to put the one on the blackboard. So you never get to 490. Unlimited forgiveness. And that is what he offered. And above all these, put on love, which binds them all together. Love, which caused the Son of God to forsake all his glory and become one of us for the sake of us who were his enemies. Is there a better picture of the character of Christ than these words? put on the character of Christ. Then he says, put on the peace of Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And Christ offered his peace to his disciples. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And he goes on to talk about heaven. But the peace that Christ offers is not just for eternity. It's for right here, right now. When things get bad, whatever happens, whoever turns against you, whatever circumstances arise, the peace of Christ will guard your hearts and minds as you give the troubles to him. Pray about it. Let your heavenly Father know about your anxiety and your fear, your anger, your sorrow. He'll give peace. Read the Psalms of David. They're full of, Lord, evil people are rising up against me. Smite them. But in the end, he says, and then I saw their destiny. And he knew peace. Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, said, rejoice in the Lord always. Always? Always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He will give you peace in circumstances where every logical thing says you should be in turmoil. But the peace of Christ that goes beyond anything we can imagine, anything we can comprehend, will guard our hearts and our minds. Put on the peace of Christ. Then Paul says, put on the word of God. Put on the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. You cannot put on the word of God without putting on Christ. He is the Word of God. Beginning of the Gospel of John starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the scriptures are filled with Christ. From the front cover to the back cover, they are full of Christ. And when, after Christ had risen from the dead, he was walking He met two disciples who were walking from Emmaus, from Jerusalem to Emmaus. He talked with them, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. It's all there. Fill your mind with the scriptures. David said in Psalm 119, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you want to build up your faith? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Put on the word of Christ. Excuse me. Finally, Paul says, put on the conduct of Christ. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What we do in the name of Christ must be consistent with the conduct of Christ if we're looking to have God's blessing. Not everything that is done in the name of Christ is done in his spirit. Remember back in the Middle Ages, and the church said, let us go and kill Muslims and kill Jews in the name of Jesus. Would he have done that? I think not. Through history, in the name of Christ, people who carry the name of Christ have persecuted each other because of the label they wore. Your label's not the same as mine? Burn him. Kill him. That's not done in the spirit of Christ. Maybe it's done in his name, but it doesn't carry his approval. Rather, we are told in Hebrews, pursue peace with all people, without which no one will see the Lord. So how should we act? Christ put it very simply. In Matthew chapter 7, he said, so whatever you wish that others should do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, the sacred writings of virtually every religion on earth contain something that echoes that. But they do it to try and gain favor with their God. Christ says we should do it, that we may display the character of God. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. The words are the same, but the motivation is very different. We're given the armor of God for the battle that we face each day. Put on the armor and be prepared to stand in the battle. But underneath the armor, we must first put on the character of Christ. There's a video I've been watching. One character says to another, how do you hold up all that armor with no spine? the armor, without the character of Christ to support it, won't help much. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who hopes thus in him purifies himself as he is pure. It is our destiny as children of God to be like Christ. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he really is. We shall see him in his unveiled glory, and we shall become like him. But we don't have to wait. Even now, let us put on the character of Christ, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of those around us. May they see in us a reflection of the glory and the wonder of Christ. Let us be, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. It has been said, you are the only version of Christ that some people will ever see. So put on Christ and let him be glorified in us all. Amen.